always amazes me. Some people make it look so easy. Turn here in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians as we continue our series through the book of Ephesians. Chapter 2 is where we find ourselves here this morning. And Ephesians chapter 2, the title of my message here this morning is Alert and an Active Duty. Alert and an Active Duty. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, which is truth, and I pray that you bless it to our hearts here this morning. And Father, I ask, Lord, that you would encourage us and guide us in all righteousness and holiness and truth by your word. Thank you for your heavenly manna. Lord, feed us this morning. Help me be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, and honors your word. And Lord, we just thank you for being our God. And Lord, bless our times we gather around your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was talking to my son, Tim, who's a missionary in Papua New Guinea, a few weeks ago. And he was sharing with me and some of the other men on the conference call. He had a problem that he didn't know quite how to deal with and didn't know if we had any advice. The situation was this, that in the tribal villages, the huts they live in, they have like grass roofs, okay? And if one of the men in the village worked hard, earned some money, and bought tin to put on top of his roof, the other villagers would look at him and saying, you're trying to be better than us. And what they would do is put a curse on him. And inevitably, this person would get sick, his family would get sick. And Tim saw it happen in this village, he saw it happen in this village, he saw it happen in this village. And he asked the question, what can I do about this? Because he says, it's real. I've seen it happen again and again. Now, I want to direct your attention to a verse here we just read in Ephesians, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. Who is that referring to? Satan. Is he alive? He's alive. And I want you to turn here. Keep that in mind. Keep your fingers there in Ephesians. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Here this morning, 1 Peter chapter 5. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says these words. Now, this is written to believers. Be sober. That means to be alert. Be alert here. Be sober. Be self-controlled. Be vigilant. Be alert here, because your adversary, the devil. You know, we do have this adversary as God's people, and he wants to kill and maim and destroy. And how does our adversary, what does he do during this time? He walks about, roaming the earth, the prince and power of the air. He's moving about like a roaring lion. Now, when do lions roar? This is their nature. Just before they bite you, they roar every time. If a lion's going to attack you, as he's charging you, he's going to roar. And when he's roaring, he's got it. That's when a lion always attacks. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. Devour. I don't want to get too graphic here, but when he devours something, he just tears him. Limb by limb, tears it apart, devours. Now, there was a time in the gospel, Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, Satan wants to sift you as what? Wheat. Satan had his eyes on Peter. He goes, Peter, Satan wants to sift. But Jesus told Peter, what did he tell him? I have what? Prayed for you. There's spiritual battles going on. And we got to be alert to these things. We got to be wise to these things, because Satan wants to bring us down
He wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to destroy our character. He's an adversary to us. He fights against us. He fights against the kingdom of God. Now, I do want to say a few things here about our adversary. He's not all-powerful. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He's a fallen angel, Satan is. And who is all-powerful? Well, God is. And turn to Genesis chapter 17 here for a minute. I want to put this in perspective here, because Satan's not all-powerful. God is all-powerful. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Genesis 17, 1. Genesis 17, 1 says these words. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Now, who is our God? You need to know this. Know our God is Almighty God. He rules and reigns. He's Creator God. When Satan rebelled against God, Satan wanted to be like the Most High. In Isaiah 14, Satan wanted to be as God. He wanted to ascend up to the north. He wanted to be as God. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning when he was cast out of heaven. He was cast out of heaven. And guess where his abode is now? He's a prince in power, what? The air. He roams the earth. He's here. He's roaming the earth. He's a prince in power of the air. And Satan here is not almighty. He's not all powerful. There's one almighty God. God says, I'm almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. We don't fear Satan. We fear God. Walk before me and be blameless. Now, I want you to think about this one for a minute. Think about Abraham. Would Abraham say God's almighty God? Because what did God do for Abram? Now, this is at this point, his name's Abram. He changed his name from exalted father to, that's what Abram means, to father of many nations, Abraham. Now, at this time, did Abraham have the child of promise? And he didn't have a child of promise at this point. And God said, and I'll make a covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Now, here's Abraham. How old is he? 99. And Sarah was past childbearing age. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, he's Almighty God. And did God hold his promises true? If Abraham could stand here and testify this morning, if he would stand here and say, I want to tell you something here. I was 99 years old, and guess what? Sarah and I, we had that child of promise. What was his name? Isaac. He had Isaac, the child of promise. And Abraham could testify, there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. And his descendants shall be as a sand on the seashore, as the stars in the heavens. I'll make you exceeding fruitful in verse 6. And I'll make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between you and between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be your God to you and your descendants after you. God's Almighty God. There's nothing that happens in our life that God can't have the power to help us through. God is Almighty God. Not only is God Almighty God, he's a faithful God. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Turn to Deuteronomy. God's Almighty God, but God is a faithful God. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says these words. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God. Verse 9, Deuteronomy 7, 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, He is a faithful God. If Joshua was standing here this morning, he would tell you of God's faithfulness. Because God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in day and night and observe to do all according to written therein. For then I'll make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If Joshua, he would say, Abraham would say, he's Almighty God. Joshua would say, he's a faithful God. Remember when Joshua came to the banks of the Jordan that were flooded during that time of the year? That's a mile across that Jordan River is flooded at that time of the year. And what happened when the priest stepped in that water? And that water went parted. And they walked across on dry land. And when Joshua marched around the city of Jericho, and God said, you march around it once for 6 days. On the seventh day, you march around that thing seven times. And then after the seventh time, they blew the trumpet. And what happens to the wall of Jericho? They came right down. Joshua said, God is faithful. When Joshua met the commander of the Lord's army, and the commander of the Lord's army said, take off your sandals. The place you stand is holy ground. Joshua saw that, and he saw the power of God come. And when the Gibeonites called Joshua and said, come, help us. All the kings of the Amorites are surrounding us. And Joshua marched with his men there. And God gave them the victory over all the enemy. Joshua looked back over time. And when you get to the end of the book of Joshua, in Joshua 23:14, he says, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. He's an old man. He called all the elders together. And you know in your hearts and all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All has come to pass, Joshua said, not one of them has failed. Is God a faithful God? He's Almighty God. He's a faithful God to us as God's people. You know, not only is he an Almighty God and he's a faithful God, he's a God of salvation we can turn to in time of trouble. If Hezekiah were here today, he would tell you that he's a God of salvation in time of trouble. In the book of Hezekiah says in the book of Isaiah, in verse 14, and Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord, verse 15, and said, and Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, all the kings of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ears and hear and open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which is sent to reproach the living God. What happened? Jerusalem was surrounded by the Assyrians. They had no hope. Assyrians had conquered nation after nation after nation after nation, had fallen. Libna, one of the cities there in Israel, had just fallen to the Assyrians, and now they come to Jerusalem. Hezekiah, this letter that he wrote, Sennacherib gave to him, he just laid it out before the Lord and said, Lord, you're a God. He acknowledged, verse 18, O Lord, the king of Assyria has laid waste all the nations and the lands and cast their gods into the fires, for they were not gods, but the works of men's hands of wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are God, that you are the Lord alone. And what happened? God said to Isaiah the prophet, you go tell Hezekiah, I've heard your prayer. And what happened during the night? The angel came through, and how many Assyrians were killed? 185,000 that night. Whew. Gone. Now, if Hezekiah would stand here today, do you think he would give testimony to God saying, God is a God of salvation. We can turn to him in time of trouble. Know that he's mighty. Know that he's faithful. Know that you can turn to him in time of trouble. Now, that's to set the background here. Turn back to Ephesians here. That's who our God is. And I want you to understand here when it says that Satan goes about as a roaring lion. He's not all powerful. Now, we need to respect him because he is powerful, but he's not all powerful. in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, Satan's active in this world. And guess what's happening right now across the world? He is bringing all these events together to set the stage for who to come on the scene. The Antichrist. The Antichrist. If you read your Bible, one thing was supposed to happen before the Antichrist come, Israel's going to be a nation again. Did that happen? 1948. Israel today is planning to rebuild the temple. They've been working for years on that. And it's going to happen some point here. Don't know when. They're working on rebuilding the temple. They've gotten all their priestly garments. They're putting all this stuff together. And that temple, when it's rebuilt, because the Antichrist is going to go into the temple and declare himself to be what? God. All these events are happening. How about the mark of the beast? Can that happen? In some of these European nations already, they're putting these little chips into people's hands that have all their information on them. They can go to a store and go, whoop, and it's got all their information. It's right there. They put it right here in their hand. Can you see that happening? Is the prince and power of the air moving? But you have to, as God's people, is Jesus coming back one day? He's going to deliver us, absolutely. So we don't fear Satan, but we sure, we want to be alert and be vigilant. Because what does 1 Peter 5:8 say? Be what? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, roars about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. Don't let him devour you. I'm telling you, if you let your guard down, now God's almighty, he's faithful, he can deliver, but if we let our spiritual guard down, what can happen? Satan can get a foothold in our lives. Satan can get a foothold in our lives. Now, I'm going to give you the end of the story, and then I'm going to work my way backwards here. Turn to Revelation 20 here for a minute. Revelation 20. Now, for those that follow Christ, it's going to be well for them. For those that follow the Antichrist and the ways of Satan, it's not going to be well for you. Revelation 20, verse 1. If you want to follow Satan, this is what's coming at you. Revelation 21 says, I saw the angel come down from heaven, having keys to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of that dragon, that's Satan, that the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Now, he's going to be bound in the bottomless pit, released and cast him in the bottomless pit, shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more. Are there some deceived nations right now? Are there some deceived nations? Absolutely. And we see this. If you read scripture, you're seeing this unfold before your eyes. This Bible's not old. It's up to date. Just like your newspaper you're reading or your news. Things that are happening. And he's deceiving the nations no more till 1,000 years be fulfilled and finished till the marriage supper of the Lamb is done. The 1,000-year reign of Christ. But after he thinks he'll release for a little while, Satan will do his work. But ultimately, he's going to be cast in the lake of fire, which burns forever and ever. So, I don't know about you. I'd rather be on the winning side. I'd rather be on Christ's side. Because he's going to rule and reign, and we're going to be victorious at the end. And during this time, we're going to suffer tribulation. Acts 14:22. With much persecution, we shall enter the kingdom of God. With much tribulation, we shall enter the kingdom of God. But we're going to be there. But what is Satan doing these days? That prince and power of the air in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Well, he's blinding the eyes and the minds of those so they will not accept the gospel. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 here for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What is Satan doing these days? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4 says these words. But if our gospel is veiled, hid, shielded, it is veiled to those who are perishing, the unbelievers, whose mind the god of this age, Satan, has what? Blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That's what Satan's doing. He's blinding people's eyes. They cannot see because they've given themselves up to Satan and his kingdom. They've embraced the dark side. They've embraced Satan's ways. Satan is the father of lies. That's why Christians don't lie. God commands that we don't, but also that's his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. We don't lie as Christians. We always tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But unbelievers, lying, stealing, all these things, they do because Satan has blinded their eyes. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the parable of the sower to seers, it said, verse 12, by the way, those that are by the wayside, when they hear, then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Luke 8, 11 and 12. You know, when people hear the word of God and they don't embrace it and they don't claim it for their own, but it just kind of sits there, Satan can just kind of take that word of God right out of their heart and mind. They don't think about it anymore, and he blinds them to the truth of it. And now, I'll take you to another passage here. Turn to Acts here. In the workings of Satan here, the prince and power of the air. Acts 5. Remember I had said, be vigilant? Acts chapter 5. We find these words here in Acts chapter 5. This is a story of Ananias and Sapphira. And they sold some land. They could have kept the proceeds. They could have done what they want. But they came to Peter, an apostle. And just before that, Barnabas had sold some land, gave it all to the work and kingdom of God and to the church and to help people that were in need. And Ananias and Sapphira sat back in the back and said, I think we'll do the same, except this is what they did. They sold the land for so much, and they put it at Peter's feet, and they said, Peter, we're giving it all to you. But in reality, they kept back part of what they gave. They could have not given anything and been fine. They could have gave half and just said, we're giving half. The problem was they're saying we're giving it all, just like Barnabas did. We're doing the same thing Barnabas did. But they didn't in reality. They kept back part of the price. They had power to keep it, power not to, whatever was theirs. Look at verse, and Peter said, Ananias, why has, what's the next word?
Satan.
Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. Problem was they lied right to the Apostle Peter. While it remained, was it not your own? You could have done what you want. After you sold it, was it not your own? You could do whatever you want with it. Why have you conceived this thing in your own heart? You've not lied to men, but to who? God. Now, this is the early church. Satan was trying to get a foothold in the church. Satan was trying to corrupt the church from the inside. God made a very strong statement right here, didn't he? How does God feel about lying? Not good. Thou shalt not lie. And that point, they dropped. They hit the ground. Now, the interesting thing here, Satan filled their hearts. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, goes about in a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. Devour. Believers, we got to be careful. Don't let your spiritual guard down. If it's wrong to lie yesterday, it's wrong to lie today, and it's wrong to lie tomorrow. And someone once said, a lie is an abomination to God and ever-present help in time of need. Is that right or wrong? It's so wrong. It's just wrong. Absolutely. It's just so wrong. We just don't go there. We just don't lie as believers. And I It's always right to do right. And yes. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:18. 1 Thessalonians, talking about the prince and power of the air here. I just want to give you perspective here for believers. 1 Thessalonians, this was Paul's experience, 2:18. This is what Paul had to deal with. 1 Thessalonians 2:18 says, therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. He wanted to visit them. Paul make this plan to go. Satan would interrupt it. Oh, he made this plan. Again, Satan hindered it. Now, I don't claim to understand all the spiritual workings of the spirit world. You read Daniel, and the archangel Michael came to Daniel when he started praying. Daniel prayed for 3 weeks. The angel told him, Daniel, as soon as you started praying, I was sent to you, but the prince of Persia withstood me. Now, I don't claim to understand all this, but I do know this. There's spiritual battles going on. Try to pray. See if you don't have a spiritual battle going on sometimes when you really try to pray. And Satan hindered the Apostle Paul. And for Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. Can Satan hinder the work of God? Absolutely. Now, God is all-powerful. He's mighty God. God is faithful. God is a God that we can trust. If Satan hinders us, what should we do? Give up? Cast in the towel? Say, oop, that didn't work out. Or do we get back up again and hit the road again? What do? You hit the road again. You don't give up. You don't give up. Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. What's that mean? When he went and preached the gospel, they pounded him. They flogged him. They whipped him. They beat him. Did that stop him? No. If Satan hinders us, should that stop us? No. That shouldn't stop us. We get right back up again. Because where are we going? That celestial kingdom. Where are we going? We're going to be in heaven one day. And that's when we have our day of rest. Well, we'll get to this a little later, but turn to Ephesians chapter 6 here for a minute. I don't want to spend too much time here, but just to put this in perspective here as God's people. Ephesians 6:10 says these words. Now, that prince and power of the air, he's real. He's alive. And he's working in this world, and he's bringing all things to the end times here. But for us as believers, finally, my brethren, be strong in who? The Lord, and in the power of his might. God can give you the victory and the strength over the flesh, the devil, and the world. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You want to fight? You fight with the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. He's scheming. Now, if you're an auto mechanic and you've done that trade for 40 years, you should know what you're doing. If you're a carpenter and you've done that trade for 40 years, you should know what you're doing. If you're a plumber and you've done that trade for 40 years, you should know what you're doing. But how long has Satan been at his trade of lying and deceiving? Thousands of years. And you know what you need? What does God say? My brethren, be strong in the who? The Lord. Don't be strong in yourself. You're strong in the Lord. That's why I hide God's word in my heart that I might not what? Sin against him. That's why I know the scriptures. when Satan tempted Jesus in Matthew 4, what did Jesus do for each time Satan tempted him? He said, it is what? It is written. That's our power. Satan will lie to you. And what do you throw back at him? You throw back the word of God. And you say, Satan, that's a lie. Now, if Satan was to put this thought in your mind, no one cares about you. Is that a lie? Because who loves people the most? God does. God spared not his own son, but gave him up freely for us all. God loves us. If Satan should say to you, you're no good, what do you say back to him? I'm more than conquerors through him that loved me and gave himself for me. We have the power of God on our lives. Satan's a liar. We use the word of God, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in what? The world. We've got the Holy Spirit in us. And we have the armor of God in us. We have God on our side. Now, what does God want us to do during this time? Well, you need to know yourself. You need to know God. He's almighty. He's faithful. He's a God that can deliver us salvation. You need to know your enemy, Satan. We've looked at that. And the last part here, you need to know yourself. And turn to Matthew 26 here. You need to know yourself. Matthew 26. This chapter here, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane before he's going to go to the cross, before he's going to be interrogated and by Pilate and the high priest. And he's praying in the garden. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful, deeply distressed. Verse 38, he said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to his disciples and found them what? Sleeping. Now, let's stop right there for a minute. How alert are you when you're sleeping? Not very alert. I was in high school. And this just came to my mind. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I will. And we were taking a field trip somewhere, but it was a lengthy trip. It was like a couple hours wherever we were going. Oh, I know. It was a junior achievement trip. And we're going up Poconos Mountains from Virginia all the way to Poconos Mountains. So it was quite a drive. And one thing you didn't want to do is fall asleep on the bus. Because if you did, some of the guys brought a cosmetic case with you, and they put eyeshadow on you, on guys, when they're sleeping, okay? They'd mess your face up. And you'd wake up, and you'd be talking to everybody looking at you with all this eye makeup over you. I guarantee you, I did not fall asleep on that bus, okay? I wasn't going to fall victim to those guys, okay? Because when you're sleeping, people can mess with you. And spiritually, if you're sleeping, guess what can happen? Spiritually sleeping, Satan can get what? An advantage over you. And right here at this time, Jesus said to Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now, what's the encouragement, the exhortation, the command, verse 41? Watch and what? Pray, lest you enter into what? Temptation. Who tempts you? The prince and power what? The air is going to try to tempt you. So you need to watch, okay? You need to be spiritually in tune enough that if something comes along down the pike and that's, you're kind of thinking, what's going on here? And Satan will tempt you. He wants to make you fall. He wants to make you step into sin. But if you're watching, you're alert and saying, that's not of God. God wouldn't have me do that. You remember Nehemiah? When they, Sanballat and Tobiah were trying to, they hired Gershom, the high priest. And Gershom, the high priest, went to Nehemiah and said, Nehemiah, go into the temple quickly. They're going to kill you. And Nehemiah just stood and looked at Gershom and said, Gershom, God didn't tell you that. You were hired by Sanballat and Tobiah. That's a lie. Should a man as I flee like that? And he didn't do it because he recognized that was to make him be afraid and run. Now, if Satan would come to you and tell you a lie, are you alert enough to say, that's a lie? I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to do that. Should such a man as I, a Christian man, do that? I'm not going to do it. See, watch and pray. God, help me. Because if you don't watch and pray, you'll enter into temptation. You'll be spiritually weak. Now, can you think of somebody who used to be used by God and today is set on a shelf, so to speak? Can you think of people like that? I don't even want to name the names, but I can think of people that God used in the past, but now just set on a shelf, unusable, because Satan got what? The victory in their life. And what you don't want to lose is lose your testimony. Somebody once said, it's easier to raise the dead than get your testimony back. And once you lose it, it's gone. And God is encouraging, this prince and power of the air, don't you minimize him. You better watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Know yourself. Know your God. He's all powerful. Know your enemy, he's a roaring lion. Know yourself, your flesh is weak. Pride goes before what? Destruction, a haughty spirit before fall. It won't happen to me. Billy Graham, when he never traveled alone. Why? He always had two or three men with him that traveled with him. To what? Protect him. You don't think? James Dobson shared this story one time. He was at a hotel room. Late at night, got a knock on the door. He opened the door. There were some prostitutes at his door. He just looked at them. He took that door. Bam! Will Satan tempt you? Take heed how you stand, lest you what? Fall. He's out there. That prince and power of the air wants to bring Christians down. And I think a lot of us know enough people that have fallen that we better, when Jesus says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Weak. In closing here, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 13. For this application, Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, now it is high time to awake out of what? Sleep. Don't be sleeping spiritually. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. You realize today you're one day closer to seeing Jesus than you were yesterday? Yeah. You realize that? He's going to be coming soon. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. It's time to get up and get to work spiritually. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness, Satan's kingdom. And let's put on the armor of light, God's kingdom. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness and lewdness and lust. Not in strife and envy. This is the encouragement, verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, be like him, and make no provisions for the what? Flesh. Don't make any provision. So in other words, If you got a trouble with drinking, don't go pull up a chair and sit down at the neighborhood bar. Do you understand what I'm saying? You just don't go there. If you got a trouble with pornography, don't go to places that have that stuff available. You just don't go there. You make no provision for the flesh. Because guess what? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. As Christians, Satan's out there. He wants to pull us down. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. If Satan's got a foothold in your life, you just put that thing to death and you don't live in it anymore. We'll turn back over to Ephesians. And you he made what? Alive. You're a Christian now. Chapter 2, verse 1. Who were dead in trespasses, he saved you by the blood of the Jesus Christ died on the cross, in which you once walked your past life in the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, those that follow Satan in his ways. Hey, we once did that. Verse 3, once lived ourselves in the lust of the flesh. We're not doing that anymore. We don't make any provisions for the flesh anymore. But look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in what? Mercy. He saved me. He saved me. And he's given me a high calling to love and follow him. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the power of God. Father, not only do you save us, but you want us to surrender our lives that we might live a sanctified and holy life, that we can be your servants, God, to serve you and love you faithfully. Father, help us to finish well in our lives. Lord, don't let us be a spiritual casualty in this world. Don't let the prince and power of the air chew us up and ruin our families and our marriages and our homes and our children because we weren't watching and praying the way we ought to. Father, help us toward this end that we would live for you in the kingdom of God. And be spiritually alert, not sleeping, not dull in our conscience. But Lord, that we are conscious to be stirred by the word of God and the truth of God. That the Spirit of God can work in our lives. So, Father, give us victory over the flesh, the devil, and the world. Father, greater is he that is in us and he that is in the world. And the fruit of the Spirit is for us as believers. God, thank you that you've forgiven us. Thank you that you're faithful to us. Thank you that you're Almighty God. Thank you that we can turn to thee when we have problems and troubles, God. Father, you're our God. And help us, Lord. And Father, some of us have been through deep waters. Lord, Satan has cast his mighty arrows at us day and night. And Father, help us to take up that shield of faith. Help us to hold the word of God and rebuke Satan and all the adversaries and all the demonic forces that we deal with. Lord, give us a victory for your glory and your honor. Give us a victory that people might see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, give us a victory that we might be your servants to walk victorious, that Satan doesn't get an advantage over us. Because, Lord, we don't want to be ignorant of his devices, God, that he has planned toward us as believers. But I thank you, Lord, that he that has begun a good work in us will complete it under the day of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, as you saved us, you're going to secure us and sanctify us in Christ that we can live for you. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our God. And thank you for Jesus Christ, who has victory over this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.